Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. May the congregation please turn to your Bible. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, 'The Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord.'" So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariots made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they had camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth opposite Baal Zephon. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word.
This afternoon, we are very happy to have Reverend Tan Ning Bu. Reverend Tan Ning Bu is the pastor of Grace Bible Presbyterian Church. He brings us God's word today. And he has entitled this message, "How Great is Our God." Reverend Tan.
Well, praise the Lord for being back here again to share with you God's precious word. Today is actually a Sunday school lesson, isn't it? Yeah, you have gone through it before, I'm sure, many times. There is a story that was told by a young 9-year-old boy who was actually asked by his mother what he had learned in Sunday school. And he said, "Well, Mom, our teacher taught us how God sent Moses behind enemy lines on a rescue mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And when he got to the Red Sea, he had his engineers build a big bridge and all the people walk across the Red Sea. He then used his walkie-talkie to radio in to get the B-52 bomber to blow up the bridge, and all the Israelites were safe and all the Egyptians were destroyed." And his mother said to Billy, he says, "Billy, is that really what your teacher taught you?" And Billy said this, actually no, Mom. If I told you the way she did, you will never believe me." And this is so true, isn't it? Did Israel cross the Red Sea? A lot of questions has been asked over this matter. Did Israel cross the Red Sea, or what is also known as the Red Sea? Red is R-E-E-D, all right? Red Sea is R-E-D, okay? It's either the Gulf of Suez area, which is the Red Sea, or the Red Sea. Which one is it? The Red Sea is a small area. And that's the Suez Canal today that's connected to the Red Sea and then reaches out to the other part of the world. And so, which one did they cross? The Bible mentions it is actually the Red Sea that they have crossed. But before I tell you about the Red Sea and the crossing, there's this beautiful hymn, isn't it? How many of you know this hymn? This little chorus, short one, isn't it? Let's sing together, shall we? "How great is our God, how great is his name. He's the greatest of all, he's always the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, 'I'll lead you if you follow me.'" Will you follow the Lord and will you trust in him always? Now, in the passage that is written in the book of Joshua chapter 2 from verses 8 down to 10. We will read down here of Rahab. Rahab actually met the spies in Jericho, and the spies spoke to her, and she was the one who said these words. She said, "I know the Lord," and she especially mentioned in verse 10 that, "I know, I've heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea." She uses this word, the Red Sea. The Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea. And then in Joshua chapter 4, we will also read down here, "The Lord is the one who dried up the waters of the Jordan." And then God also led you through the Red Sea, not only the Jordan area. Do you know that the Jordan River was dried up for long kilometers, maybe about 7 or 14 kilometers. And then the children of Israel crossed into the land of Canaan. But prior to that, they crossed the Red Sea. And here Joshua also mentioned that, you know, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Then when we come to this Acts chapter 7 and verse 36, in the New Testament, there you have Luke recorded down here that the children of Israel actually crossed the Red Sea. And so from the Old Testament and from the New Testament, you have the words mentioned, the Red Sea. All right, but when you come across this particular word, the Greek Septuagint, right, don't be afraid of this particular word, Greek Septuagint. It's not a big word at all. It's a simple word that tells you that the early church actually had a problem in the sense that the Hebrews themselves couldn't even read their Hebrew Bible, which is the Old Testament, right? Because in that period of time, the language was the Greek language. The Grecian Empire had actually conquered that part of the world for a long time. And when Rome came and Rome took over that part of the world, the Grecian language and culture continued on. And so what happened was that the Hebrews have a problem. All these many years, they have been hearing and speaking Greek. So their language of Hebrew, they actually couldn't understand it very well. And so there is a need to translate the Old Testament into Greek for them, from the Hebrew into Greek. And so when they did that, they mentioned this particular word also. And this is a very significant part because the Greek Septuagint also used the word the Red Sea. And I think the first part of the message is important for all of us to understand. Israel did cross the Red Sea, not the Red Sea, all right? Because there are some view that says that they crossed the Red Sea, but the scriptures is very clear to say that they crossed the Red Sea. Now, let's take a look down here. God actually has a plan for the children of Israel. I'm going to show you down here in this part, right? In fact, the plan is a very simple one. Go to this place. From Succoth, you're supposed to go to this place called Etam. And then from Etam, you will go all the way down south and you will come to this place called Pi-hahiroth. Come to this place. And then from Pi-hahiroth, you're supposed to make a U-turn. And they make a U-turn and went into this place called Migdol. And what happened was that when they came into this place called Migdol, there is the place called Baal Zephon. And that's the place that finally Israel came to. And when they came to this place, they had a dead end. In front of them was the Red Sea. They couldn't go anymore. They were told to make a U-turn. They make a U-turn. And Moses actually did what God told him to do. You know? God says, go on this direction. He just went. No question asked at all. He followed the command of the Lord. He just went. No argument with the Lord at all. Came to this particular part. God says, make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. He just simply make a U-turn. And then finally came to a dead end. Lord, what are we supposed to do? We are now in a dead end, right? And in a dead end, that's a problem there. Because if they were to return going up north, the Egyptians were coming down north. And the Egyptians would chase them. And if they would go down further down south, that would be the wilderness. If they go into this area that is east, that's where they face the Red Sea or the Gulf of Suez, right? And so God has His plan, actually, for the U-turn and the dead end. God has all His plans settled for the children of Israel, specifically for the destruction of the Egyptians. And I want you to take note down here that God was setting up His plans to destroy Pharaoh. From verses 3 to 8, that was His plan. And we come to this particular part down here. I show you here, right? In verse 3, it is mentioned that Pharaoh then said, why did we let the children of Israel go? We actually did a wrong thing, a stupid thing to do. Let's go and pursue after them. So Pharaoh said, you know, let's go, let's pursue these people. They are wandering in the land and the wilderness has shut them in. All right? Because they were trapped there. In front was the Red Sea and they couldn't go on at all. So the Bible tells us in verse 7 that He got 600 chosen chariots to pursue after them. Verse 7 mentioned that. And they caught up with the children of Israel in verse 9. They caught up with the children of Israel. See that? And the children of Israel actually panicked at that part, at that point of time. The Israelites were coming, the Egyptians were coming against them. What's the lesson here for us to take note of in the first point of my message? U-turns, dead ends. I want you to take note that they are good for us if God is in it. The U-turns in our life, the dead ends in our lives. A lot of us quote Romans 8:28, don't we? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Is that really true for you? Can you accept that? Dead ends in my life, U-turns in my life. I get very frustrated. Beloved, as Christians, we know that all these things are in the hand of the Lord. It is all in the control of God. If you believe that U-turns happen with God leading you and guiding you, if dead ends happen because God is the one who allowed it to happen for a purpose and for His glory and for your edification and for the good of you, Romans 8:28, then that's fine. If you don't believe it, you're going to be frustrated with God. You're going to curse God also, you know. Just like Job's wife says, curse God and die. Because we come to this stage in our life where we don't have any more things. That is the U-turn, and that is the dead end in our lives. And too often people get discouraged because they have to go through it all again. Can you imagine you have to go through it again in U-turns in your life, you know, and do certain basic things that you need to do again. A lot of what the government is trying to tell you is to go back, U-turn again, and go and learn many new skills and what have you to do. Sometimes you get frustrated, you know. You say, I've got to go all this thing again. I have to redo all this thing again in my life. Well, that's a good purpose and for the glory of God. If you can accept it, if you cannot accept it, then you'll be frustrated with God. All right? Many years ago when I was in India, and I like to share my Indian experience because I've been in Uttar Pradesh for 6 months in the state of UP, and that time was when I was very young at the time when we were doing mission work. And we had to make a lot of U-turns. We actually was in a group that does evangelism. And we go on our bicycle, you know, we cycle. And we go to village after village to share the word of God. Of course, I don't speak Hindi, you know. I give the gospel tracts to these people. That's all I do. And many of our foreigners do not speak Hindi at all. So we gave gospel tracts. The Indian brothers will speak Hindi to the Indians. But we cycle, and we cycle a lot. And there are many times we come into dead ends, U-turns. And we ask God to help us because we don't know how to move on. And God help us even as we make U-turns. Even as we come to a dead end, He brings us to different areas that we have never ever entered before, to a new village. That's amazing. God is the one who is involved in our lives. I want you to take note, he is involved in our lives. He didn't abandon us, he is involved in our life. If you believe that, if you trust in that, then you will know that everything is in the control of God. I've got a member whose grandson is in hospital, seriously ill, and he's got frequently seizure, and he's then in hospital, very young, it's about 4 years old only, and you know, doctors did as much as they could. The experts in Singapore came to help. They sent medical samples to the U.S. to test. Medical samples came back with the results. No, they couldn't find any problem at all. Nothing is found. That's the dead end of it. What else can they do? That's the thing. Beloved, that's where you need to turn to the Lord and really accept that the Lord is the one who is in charge. He's sovereign. You believe God is sovereign? How great is our God, isn't it? He is sovereign there, and he can help us in a matter of dead ends or U-turns. You have financial problems, you have health problems, and so forth. Well, there are dead ends that you will come to, U-turns that you will come to, and you have to depend on the Lord and trust in the Lord. Israel was told to do so. In this situation that they were in, this is how they could trust in the Lord. And this is where God comes into the picture. God will protect the children of Israel. I want you to take note of two verses here. Verse 13, that Moses says, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. Stay calm." You have a lot of people telling you this thing, isn't it? When you're in trouble, some people come up and counsel you and say, "Hey, stay calm, we'll pray about it," and so forth. Easily said, isn't it? When you're in a desperate situation, how to stay calm? You know, when you are in a very difficult position, people come up with words like this, and you are sometimes very upset about it, you know. You ask me to stay calm, you ask me to trust God, you know, and some people are not happy about it. But that's what the Bible tells us. Bible also tells the children of Israel, God will fight for you. Stay calm, right? And just depend upon the Lord. Look at this point in verse 10. I want you to see in verse 10 down here, the children of Israel panic. Bible tells us when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. What terrible, isn't it? And at this particular time, the Bible tells us that they actually look at the Lord, but at the same time, filled with tremendous fear, like many of us would be, isn't it? Looking at God, but at the same time, is so fearful over the problems that we are facing. But verse 10 is a very significant verse. It tells us the children of Israel prayed to God for the first time. They prayed to God. They cry out to God. And they cry out to God for the first time, and see what happened next when they cried out to God. God is the one who will help them. But I want you to see down here, right, that when they cry out to God, at the same time, they also look at, some people who may be accused. They may accuse some people of bringing them in that kind of a situation, the kind of problems that they were going through, right? And when they cry out to God, at the same time, they were saying, you know, actually, we were the ones who got into trouble because why? Moses brought us here, what? Moses is the one who told us to come here. So somebody is supposed to take the blame. And they put the blame to Moses. I want you to see down here in verse 11. Verse 11, they said, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt?" Right? And then, let me see down here, right? Verse 12 is the one. Verse 11, verse 12. Is not this what you have done to us? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Well, at least somebody get the blame. Well, we look to you, God, but at the same time, we think of Moses. Moses is the one who actually brought us here, you know, and in their fear, they had to blame somebody for bringing them into that kind of a situation today, right? And this is the thing about church leadership sometimes, you know. Sometimes church leaders get blamed for many problems also, right? And because they lead the church in certain areas, and then where there are difficult problems that the church face, they blame the church leaders also. But I think the important thing is to go back to the scriptures and look at the children of Israel down here. And don't judge the children of Israel only, all right? Because we are like them also today. Moses, we took your advice. Now see what you have gotten us into, right? Fear overwhelmed them. But we need to go back to verses 13 to 14. Don't blame anybody. Continue to look to God, all right? Go back to verses 13 and 14. And verses 13 and 14 is very important for all of us. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, right? And then in verse 14, it is mentioned this. Let me see. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. I want to present to you, beloved, the prescription for any one of us who is in the midst of struggle, in the matter of fear, troubles that you are encountering today, and you have done U-turns in your life, dead ends in your life, and today you are in a desperate situation. Learn from God's precious word down here. See what you can learn here. I want you to see these four things that is mentioned from verses 13 and 14. God says to the children of Israel, don't be afraid. All right? Stand firm. Stand firm. Be steady. Stand firm. And then watch God comes true. Okay? You are supposed to watch God come true. Depend upon Him. And then you are not to talk at all. Don't talk. In other words, you talk to God. Continue to talk to God. Now look at how people react in problems like this they are facing today when they face dead ends, U-turns in their lives. I want you to see down here these four things that is mentioned. We are afraid. Instead of don't be afraid, we are afraid. Instead of stand firm, we run. We look for people to blame. We also look for help in other places. Doctors cannot do this already. Oh, then I think better go to other doctors. I'm not saying that you cannot do that. You can do that. Go to TCM doctors and so forth. People do that, isn't it? Yeah, but don't go and run and go and seek mediums, you know. Don't go and seek the tankies and what have you. Don't do that at all. Go to God and God alone. We fight. You see that? We fight. You fight against who? You fight against God because you're not happy. You're in that situation today and you're not happy about it. And you raise your fist against God and says, why am I in this situation today? And I'm very angry with you, God. You know, I trusted you. I come to church. I do this. I do that. And I'm in a situation today. I'm not happy with you, Lord. You should be blessing me. Really? Is God always to bless you? Right? Are we supposed to receive all the blessings only? God says, I send evil, you know. I send calamities in your life today. I allow that to happen in your life. Then we tell everybody, hey, why me, la? They seek sympathy. Why me? You know, there was a young man that I don't know whether I told you this thing, la. There was a young man, I brought him to a gospel meeting some years ago. And as I was driving him to the gospel meeting, you know, he was in his 20s, you know, mid-20s or late-20s. And he had a stroke, half-sight paralyzed, but he was getting better. Brought him to a gospel meeting, and because he's not a Christian, and tried to share with him the gospel. But as I was driving him to the gospel meeting, he was in the motor car with me, telling me every time and saying, you know, why me, why me? I'm so young, you know, why do I get all these things? Why me, why me? Why me? Don't know how many times he used, you know, until I said to him, why not you? And well, he was very angry with me. He was very angry. Turned back to me and pointed the finger at me and says, why not you, you, you? You are the one. Okay, right? But the thing is this. We tell everybody. And that's a very sad thing, isn't it? Beloved, how is God going to protect Israel? How does he deliver Israel? This is where I want you to see. God will reveal his power. And this is wonderful. Verse 15. Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Go forward. That's the Red Sea. How are we going to go forward? We got 2 million people. How are we going to cross the Red Sea? 2 million of us. But God says to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel, go forward. After you pray, act. All right? Don't only pray, but also do something. So after you pray, tell the people, go forward. And I love it. The sea is before you, Moses. Have faith in God. Move. Notice, why do you cry to me? In other words, after all the praying, like I said, go forward, right? And that is what Moses will do. He took the instruction from God. In verse 16, he lifted up the rod, his staff, stretched out his hands over the sea, and the Bible says he divided it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. I want you to take note of this word, dry ground. They cross the Red Sea on dry ground. All right? And when you come to verses 17 down to 20, God says, I will do my part. Moses, stretch out your hand. I'll open the sea for you. You will cross the sea on dry ground. I will do my part, okay? And you will lead the people on and cross the Red Sea. I want you to see also in verse 19, before they cross the Red Sea, the Bible tells us the angel of the Lord who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. Right? The pillar and the clouds were leading the children of Israel. Bible tells us they moved behind. Why do they move behind? They were actually protecting Israel. The Egyptians were coming down from the north. And the Bible tells us down here that when they were coming down to the towards the children of Israel, the pillar as well as the clouds actually gave problems to the children of the Egyptians. And it caused darkness to the children of the Egyptians. The Egyptians' army couldn't see the darkness at all, right? See through the darkness at all. And they had a problem down there. And the Bible tells us down here that it was for one night that they had this problem. Verse 20 tells us that the darkness that came upon the Egyptians was just only for one night, all right? And this is important. It is one night that the Bible mentions down here. I want you to also take note here in verse, verse 21 that I want you to take note. Bible mentions down here, Moses stretched out his hands, and then what happened? The Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind all night, one night, all night, all right? And make the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. This is important for you and I to understand down here. The east wind that came was the wind that God actually blew. And when God blew into the sea itself, into the Red Sea itself, the water split into two. And that was the path, isn't it? And there was this seabed that is open. And the wind continued to blow. God continued to blow into the seabed. And this is important. They needed the seabed to be dry. Right? If the seabed is not dry, they cannot cross the sea because it is too muddy to cross. I show you this picture here. This is Sungai Buloh. Many of you may have been to Sungai Buloh. I've been to Sungai Buloh many times because I watch birds, I photograph birds and so forth. And this is low tide in Sungai Buloh. Have you ever seen people walk inside this muddy place? I've seen, you know, the national parks people walk inside there. And I've seen them step into the mud. When they step into the mud, it went up to their knee level, you know, until their knees. Some as above the knees also. That is how deep this place is. It is so muddy. Can the 2 million people walk in such a situation across the Red Sea? They can't at all. Can you imagine? They have got wagons with them. They have got their carts with them. They have got their donkeys, their horses, their children, and so forth. How to bring them across this kind of a situation? They can't. So the seabed had to be hardened. The seabed had to be dry. And the one night of blowing of the seabed by God makes the seabed harden. That's important, huh? And because the seabed is hardened, the children of Israel was able to cross the Red Sea. The Bible tells us down here in verse 22, once God took his hand off the wind, the Israelites crossed. As the wind continued to blow and dry the seabed, and it's dry already and hardened, God stopped blowing, and the children of Israel then went in and crossed. Can you imagine how can the children of Israel cross with the wind blowing against them? They can't. So this is God working. Beloved, you see the wonderful picture that is presented to you down here from scriptures. God in charge of all situations. God leading every aspect of the life of all of us. This is what we term as the sovereignty of God and the providence of God. You get the word providence of God? God leading us every step of our life, every step of the way. He leads and guides us and helps us. Every step of the way. Praise the Lord for that. And the Bible tells us almost 2 million of the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Okay? And how can the children of Israel ever doubt the greatness of God? How great is our God, isn't it? How can the children of Israel doubt the greatness of God? And if you read into the book of Psalms, you will be able to find that after they have seen all these things, they still limited the God of Israel. It's just the same like all of us. Sometimes God does great and mighty things for us, and we still sometimes have doubt on God. And we limit His strength, and we continue to limit His power. And that's very sad, isn't it? But the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. That's important for us to take note. Then the Egyptians came in later on. And when the Egyptians came in later on, I want you to take note, 2 million people crossed the hard ground. After crossing the hard ground, the ground actually became softer again. Can you imagine all these people continue to walk and pressing on the ground? It became soft again. And when the Egyptians came in after that, they have a problem. They got stuck in the mud. All right? It is not because, you know, God actually allowed certain things to happen. It's actually they have been walking all the time. And when they walked into it, they had big problems. And the Bible tells us down here that the Egyptians got themselves into trouble. Verses 26 to 30 tells us that God finally destroyed them. Moses stretched out his hands again, and the sea, the Bible tells us, the water came back and the Bible tells us the water swallowed them all up. And this is found in verse 30 to 31. Bible says, thus says the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea shore, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Beloved, I want to leave with you this passage here from God's Word. This is God's Word for all of us. When we come to dead ends in our lives, when we have U-turns in our lives, the only thing that we have to do is really to look up to God. Because what else can we do? Who else can help us? And if people have done so much for us and nothing else can be done, we will have to look up to God. But in the first place, we will have to look up to God first, right? Ask Him for wisdom and guidance to lead us in the things that we are going through in our lives today. And after we get all this deliverance, then let us bring glory and praise to God. Take-home lesson for all of us is to have faith in Him. You see the U-turns, you see the dead ends, you see the fear, the panic, the power of God display. You see the deliverance, the mighty sea, the Red Sea open, the Red Sea closing back again, and the death of the Egyptians. The call is to have faith in God. That's the thing, beloved, to have faith in God. And here we have in the book of Hebrews, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea. By faith they did that. Jesus says down here, have faith in God, right? How are you going to have faith in God? You're going to have faith in God by hearing and trusting in the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of Christ. That's how we grow in our faith. That's how you and I were to read the Scriptures, can continue to know the Scriptures, and be able to see the Scriptures and understand it, that we will continue to grow in our faith in Christ. Many years ago, when I was in Indonesia, I was seated with the young people because I'm supposed to lead a retreat there. And one of the young guy was reading in Indonesian, and that's Indonesian, Bahasa Indonesian. That would be Malay in the Alkitab. And the person was reading, and he came to the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, that says that you must be steadfast, unmovable. Specifically, the word unmovable is the one that strikes me. And as he was reading in Bahasa Indonesia, I was listening to him. And then he came to that part, and I thought, wow, that's wonderful that he uses that word. I don't know how many of you understand Malay, but that word is this. Jangan goyang-goyang. Heard of it? Jangan goyang-goyang means don't be shaky. Don't be shaky. Right? And I thought that was really wonderful. This is the thing that God is trying to tell us down here. Jangan goyang-goyang. Betul. Jangan goyang-goyang. All right? Don't. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in Him. And in all the situation that you and I go through in the Lord, just having our faith, look to Him and anchored in Him always. Let's look to God in prayer. Lord, thank You for Your Word. I pray for all of us, Lord, to have faith in You. Increase our faith if we have problems in this matter of our faith. And Lord, help us that we may know Your Word, that Your Word will be able to strengthen us to know You better and to teach us to have faith in You. And I pray for brethren who are in the midst of trouble, in dead ends in their lives, in the U-turns that they face in their lives, that they will look to You and depend on You. As they find help from others, may You also give wisdom to those to help, who will help them. But most importantly, help them to look to You. Help all of us to be steadfast, unmovable always in our faith in you. Seal the words in the hearts of all the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.